And somebody complained and said they need to dock my pay because I didn't. So my response was, does that mean if I go long that you pay me time and a half over? No, that's not. They didn't go for that. The first thing I want to let you know is that it's biblical to adjust your meeting schedule due to the weather. Did you know that? Comes out of this passage, Ezra chapter 10, verse 13. But there are many people, it is the rainy season, and we are not able to stand in the open, nor can the task be done in 1 or 2 days, for we have transgressed greatly. So they decided to stop the meeting. Everybody went home, and they dealt with them one-on-one. It's biblical to adjust your meeting schedule according to the word. Having done that, turn with me to Ezra chapter 9, and we'll take a brief look at an important lesson that we can gain from this. Father, we thank you for this time we can have together, and pray that you would guide us in both of these messages, and just that we would catch the overall impact of what God is teaching us today, both through this passage and through the book of Malachi. And we thank you for the privilege of being together, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Ezra arrives in Jerusalem. He's helping to set up, reestablish worship in the temple. And so he's brought the people together, and they've done all the worship and all of that, and got that going in a very positive way. 4.5 months later, a couple of the leaders, they're called princes here, a couple of leaders come to him and say, we have a problem. And it's in verse 2 of chapter 9, for we have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy race has intermingled with the peoples of the land. Indeed, the hands of the princes and rulers have been foremost in this unfaithfulness. That is, there's been an intermarrying between the remnant that had come back to Jerusalem and the Gentiles who were there in the land among them. And that was something that was strictly forbidden. They were not supposed to intermarry with Gentiles. It's important that we recognize right now the issue is not racial purity. The issue is not racial purity. The issue is a separated allegiance to God. Who you marry impacts your value system. Did you know that? Who you marry impacts your value system. People, they come to me and do premarital counseling. We talk to them, and, you know, are they both Christians? And sometimes somebody will say, is he a Christian? Well, yeah, he's accepted Christ. I say, now, wait a minute. Are you being unequally yoked? Because if you say you're committed to Christ at this level, and the other person just barely over the thresholds committed at this level, are you unequally yoked? In essence, you are. You're going to fight the value system your entire married life together. So make sure your values are in line before you tie the knot. And that's the issue here. The issue is not racial purity. The issue is you're going outside of the group of people who are committed to God in the way that you are to be committed to God. And that's been a history all the way through. And it's almost like Ezra said, this is what got us into trouble in the first place. Is all along we mingled with the Gentiles and we intermarried with them, and we took their gods and we went into idolatry, and we got wrapped up in idolatry, and we missed the mark because our allegiance now was pulled away from just our allegiance to God and walking in his path. But the spouse that we got caught up with and that we married drew us away from that because our values are not in line. So when he's aware of the problem, verse 3 says, when I heard about this matter, I tore my garment and my robe and pulled some of the hair from my head and my beard and sat down. Now, some of you have gotten a head start on this, pulling the hair from your head. I wasn't talking about you, Craig. This is the only place in Scripture where that phrase is used, okay? So it's not a biblical mandate, those of you who have started. But I pulled a hair from my head and my beard and sat down appalled. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel on account of the unfaithfulness of the exiles gathered to me, and I sat appalled until the evening offering. He was flabbergasted that we'd gone through this whole time, and then they've been 70 years in exile because they had pulled away from worshiping God and they got caught up on idols. I was teaching perspectives class last week, and it had a little bit to do with idolatry. So I said, do we in America have idols? And I said, give me an example. First thing he came up with, how about American Idol? Well, that fits the bell, doesn't it? And it's that whole idea, you know, we don't have this thing that we worship, except some people do, but we get caught up in idolatry, and we move away from having allegiance to God and a following after God. Then he starts this prayer of confession. But the evening offering, I rose from my humiliation, even with my garment and my robe torn, and I was down on my knees. Here's a posture, down on my knees, my hands stretched out to the Lord. And he said, oh, my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift my face to you, my God, for, listen to this, our iniquities have risen above our heads and our guilt has grown even to the heavens. Verse 8, but now for a brief moment, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us as an escaped remnant and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and grant us this little reviving for our bondage. He said, I'm so humiliated that we have this whole history, and then we have the captivity, and then we have him coming back, and God has been so gracious to allow us to come back to land and put a little peg in the ground. That is, the people are getting here in the land again. And he's been so gracious to us. And the first thing we do is a group of us get involved in sin. And he calls it our iniquity. Daniel did the same thing. Daniel didn't commit the sins, but when he gets to the prayer for his people, he says, my sins, our sins. He pulls himself into that, and it says, we are together as sinners, even though Ezra himself had not committed the sin. Daniel himself had not committed the sin. And there is a sense of when I sin, it reflects upon us as a group of believers. So that's why it's just not you out there. And it's just not me. We're together. And our sin impacts our community as well as our personal relationship with God. There is incredible, heartfelt confession here, and I'll have you read that on your own, the entirety of it, but it's very much just him saying, Lord, we've broken what you've entrusted to us. Chapter 10 talks about reconciliation and the reconciliation that leads to obedience. And the reconciliation is we need to take those relationships that are there that are against the will of God, and we need to separate from those Gentiles. So the solution is to separate from those who have an allegiance that is not the same with theirs as theirs. Now it's important to realize that in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about this, and he says that an unbelieving wife, you're not supposed to divorce from an unbelieving wife. So this is not something that transfers over to today. And I'm not saying if you're in a relationship with a spouse that's unbelieving, that's right or wrong to get divorced. It isn't. It isn't that at all. In fact, it's supposed to be the opposite. You're supposed to love them more because of that. But what he's saying is here, we need to guard our values. We need to guard our values. Verse 11, now therefore make confession to the Lord God of our fathers and to do his will, and separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the foreign wives. So we need to be careful The first thing is, if you're not married, be very careful in terms of who you're planning on marrying. And you need to look at that and say, are those the values that God wants me to embrace? Because when you marry somebody, you're going to be embracing those values. You can't help but do that as you live together year after year after year. And if you don't, then there's major conflict because of that. And so we need to be careful. And then, so part of it is, if you're not married, make sure you really take a good look at that. Make sure your value is in line. But even for the rest of us that are married, it's not about marriage, it's about our allegiance to God. And we need to be careful as we're living in the world around us. It's so easy to pull their values into our life. It's so easy to embrace the values of the world around us, to be in the world. And then sometimes we become of the world, and he's saying, we need to move away from here. The sad part of this story is that a fourth of the people who fell into this marrying outside of the faith were the religious leaders, who should have been the most knowledgeable, the most online of saying, no, I'm not going to do that. But there was a disconnect between their personal life and their walk with God, and that disconnect cannot be there. So the charge I'm leaving with us today is to make sure we hold on to the values, our allegiance with God, walk faithfully with him, and not be distracted by the pressures of the world around us. Okay, Craig? Thank you. Was that 5 minutes? I think we did it. We did it.
So we'll let you know how much time it was afterwards, Gilbert. Okay. We're going to sing two more hymns, and then we'll have Fritz. And the first one is, Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice, now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. By His power we trust in His love. The Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. And why don't we sing this last one standing? The light of the world is Jesus. Let's stand as we sing this, if you'd like. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Sunshine at noonday, his glory came in, the light